Amen. Would you take your Bibles tonight and open them to Daniel, the 9th chapter?
Go to Ezekiel and hang a right, and you'll be in Daniel.
Daniel chapter 9, where we're going to be tonight. We're going to be looking at a prayer of Daniel. And I've entitled tonight's study, If We Confess Our Sins. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all of Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. O Lord, we and our kings, our princes, our fathers, are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants and prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, who made yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Father, I come to you tonight, and I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to look into your word and just allow you to speak to us, because that's exactly what your word does to us by your Holy Spirit. And I just pray, Father, that this prayer prayed by Daniel, who had been fasting and praying and setting himself aside and consecrating himself before you, as you speak, Lord, to us by your word that is written down tonight, I pray we will also see these words resonate with who we are and where we are as individuals and certainly as a country. We have gone away from you, Lord. Not everyone has, but many have. Lord, this nation needs to come back to you in full repentance. I know if we would, you would bless us beyond measure, just as you've done in the past. But Lord, I pray that you'll speak to each one of us tonight. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If we confess our sins, 1 John tells us if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Daniel began to pray because he was in his spirit hurting. He was hurting for Israel. He was hurting specifically for Jerusalem. And I think he was hurting for the reputation of his God. I think many times we don't really stand up for God like we should. We don't stand for His holiness and for His righteousness. But David began to pray, and this was not unusual for Daniel, I'm sorry, began to pray. It's not unusual for him because Daniel prayed every day. He prayed multiple times, and he would always pray looking back towards Jerusalem because his heart was there in the place that God had made him. In verses 1 and 2, we see that he was praying according to God's Word. You see, to do that, we've got to read His Word, right? We've got to spend time in His Word. We've got to see what God might be saying to us. And I think many people take their Bibles and they open them up on Sunday and study them in Sunday school or study them in worship, but then they take them home and set them on a table and they're still there the next weekend. That's not what God wants. God wants us to be in His Word. And it's obvious that that's exactly where Daniel was because he was reading from the book of Jeremiah. He knew the 70 years of exile, or what's called the 70 years of desolation, were almost over. He realized that as they were taken captive in 605 B.C., that 70 years was going to end soon. He was a very young teenager when he was taken into captivity. Now he was older and he was still in captivity. But he was looking forward to the day that Jerusalem would be rebuilt and the walls would be rebuilt. It was in the first year of Darius's reign, 538 B.C., as Daniel is praying this prayer. He's been in captivity for 67 years. Can you imagine that? Captivity for 67 years. Now, the good part about it is because Daniel was such a good leader and because he was so smart and because God had granted him the ability to be able to help out his leaders by telling them what their dreams meant, he was elevated into leadership in the whole country. But he'd been away from Jerusalem and away from the people of God for 67 years. But he was reading God's Word. He was spending time in Jeremiah. And then, as he read God's Word, he began to pray God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 through 12 tell us this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Daniel knew this. He knew this passage. He, no doubt, had been praying through this passage multiple times. Daniel knew the people were still not yet ready. What's it going to take for the people of our nation to be ready for God to move? What's it going to take for the people of our church to be ready for God to move? Daniel knew that if God was going to do what He said He was going to do, there needed to be a great confession. You see, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So he knew that there needed to be a great confession, and he began it. And I think sometimes we're hoping that a lot of other people will do it. But it has to start with us. It has to start with the church. It has to start with those who know the Lord. We need to confess our sins and get right with God. We need to pray according to His Word. We also need to pray with humility. Look at what verse 3 says. So I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, in sackcloth, and in ashes. You see, Daniel wasn't demanding anything from God. He prayed. He was praying with humility. He came before God realizing who God is and who he was. So in attitude, he came in sackcloth and ashes. When they would put on sackcloth and cover themselves with ashes, what they were doing was humbling themselves before God. In many other places in Scripture, it would be also getting down on your hands and knees and putting your face to the ground. It's an attitude. It's a position not of necessarily of your body. It's a position of your heart. It's saying, Lord, I have nothing without you. You are absolutely everything. And I bow myself before you, knowing that in and of myself I can do nothing, but with you I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Daniel was in a position of the heart, in prayer, in attitude, sackcloth and ashes, realizing who I am and who God is. I think many times we come to prayer and we even pray together and we just begin praying, and I'm often moved by the fact that many times we just start praying without realizing who we're praying to. You see, we don't come barging into the Holy of Holies of God, but we come in realizing who we're talking to, who we're asking, who we're coming before. Sometimes when we begin to pray, we just need to be quiet and realize we're in His presence. Pray according to His Word. Pray with humility. And then we see He begins to pray very intensely. His prayers were fervent. In other words, He says, I pleaded with the Lord. Now, it's not like God couldn't hear him. It's not like he had to try to wake God up. But he, in his own heart, was pleading with the Lord. The Hebrew term was also used when Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He wasn't going to give up. I wonder how many times we pray and then nothing happens and then we just give up. We've got to pray and keep on praying and keep on praying and never give up. The word is literally in the emphatic imperative, which denotes extreme intensity. It's the same kind of prayer that Jesus prayed in the garden. And the Bible says he prayed so intensely that his sweat became as drops of blood. Hematidrosis. It means the blood vessels around his pores began to explode. And he began to bleed blood through his pores. James chapter 5, verse 16. Reminds us of how we ought to pray. The prayer of a righteous person is what? Powerful and effective. Now, what makes you a righteous person? It's not doing all the good things and not doing all the bad things, because you still will be sinful in your nature. What makes you righteous is God. The blood that was shed for us and covers us, that's what makes us right with Him. That's what righteous means. It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. I tell you something, folks. We talk about all kinds of authorities and things in high places. But are we doing warfare? Are we literally praying by the Holy Spirit against these things that continue to attack us and the demonic forces? We need to pray fervently. And we also need to pray succinctly. In other words, we need to pray specifically. It's not one of these prayers like, oh God, bless the whole world. Oh God, help everybody to know you. Oh God, I mean, help all the missionaries. Succinctly means we need to get to the point with God. If there's issues in your life, you need to confess them. Sin in your life, you need to confess it. Get right with God. And then go straight to the point. Listen, God doesn't want to hear us ramble. God wants us to hear the genuine prayer of our heart. Daniel prays exactly what he means. All through this prayer, he prays exactly what he means. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7 says, "And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they're going to be heard because of their many words." Daniel prayed exactly what he meant. Fourthly, we need to pray with confession. From verses 4 through 14, Daniel continually confessed the sins of his people and his own sins. He began by being praiseful. Daniel began with praise. We need to always exalt God first because it reminds us who He is. It reminds us of who we are talking to and what He can do and what He's able to do. But then he became very specific. In verses 5 through 14, he began to call sin what it is. Sin. He didn't excuse it. He didn't say, "Well, we messed up, but hopefully we'll get it right." He called it exactly what it was, sin. You see, if we don't deal truthfully about our own sins, why would God listen? Right? I mean, we need to be truthful with God. We need to be open with God. We need to call sin what it is. It's sin. And we need to confess it before Him. If we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Daniel does not excuse the sins of his nation. He calls it exactly what it is. We were reprobate. We were on our doing what we wanted to do. Even though you were God, we did what we wanted to do. I wonder what would happen if the people of our nation would begin praying like that. I wonder what would happen if the people of our church would begin praying by that. Pray with confession. Fifthly, he began to pray for God and His glory to fall. You see, He's the reason we pray. It's all about Him. He's the Lord our God. In fact, the Hebrew word is Adonai, the Lord our Master. He's not just God. He is Lord God. He's in absolute control. And the reason we come to Him is because He is in absolute control. His glory is what we need to be praying for and not for our gain. You see, Daniel wasn't praying that Jerusalem would be restored so that he could go back and enjoy Jerusalem. He was praying that Jerusalem would be restored so that God's glory would be restored among the nations. You see, it's not about us or it's not about me. It's always about Him. It's always about the Lord. James chapter 4, verse 3 says, "When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures." James was trying to make this statement to the people he was writing to. He says, "Listen, why do you pray that you'll have this and this and this and this? Because you don't even know if that's God's will for you. It's about Him. It's not about you. It's not about me." And then in the last four verses, verses 20 through 23, Daniel begins, in fact, let me just read this part again because I love how it says it. "While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for His holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice." Now listen to what it says. "He instructed me and said to me, 'Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider this message and understand this vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy.'" You see, God was, he was not only listening to Daniel, he was going to work in what Daniel was praying for. And he was going to answer this prayer. You see, we need to pray believing that God is listening. And he is. He always is. And we need to pray that God is at work because he is already at work. He said, while I was praying and confessing, God was at work. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 24 reminds us of that. Before they call, I will answer. While they're still speaking, I will hear. You see, God's not waiting to find out what we need. He already knows what we need. God's not listening to us to try to figure out what it's going to take to help us. He already knows that. What he's waiting to hear is our confession before him that he's the answer. We don't have an answer. He's the answer. And before Daniel finished praying, God was already answering. Gabriel came for a second visit. Verse 23, as soon as you began to pray, he says, a word went out and God was in action. I wonder what would happen if we truly began to pray like this. If we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and what? Cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you more than anything. I need you more than anything. Lord, I know many times we pray corporately as a body of Christ, and we should. But I think more than anything, we just personally need to be in your presence, on our knees, praying and asking you, Lord, to do your work, first of all in our own personal lives, and second of all in the body of Christ, so that your word can be multiplied and so that people can hear and know exactly what you want to do. Father, I just ask that you'll bring these things to pass. I pray that you will put your anointing upon this church body and the people of this church. And I pray, Father, that we will go out with gladness and joy, sharing the news with people around us. Father, they need to hear. They need to know. They need to see. They need to experience that you are the one true God and you have a plan so that all can come to repentance. Father, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name.